Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Oh,
Shalom, 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 Israel, children of the Most High, Yah, friend, foe, whoever you are, praise Yah. Bless you all, and bless you all on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Brother Shane, Teacher Shane here with you tonight, hallelujah. Here live in the radio room of the Straightway Tabernacle. And we give Yah thanks. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad everybody is chiming in already, letting them know the signal is good. Because Yah is good. He is good all the time. Yeah, I am still rejoicing over yesterday's message, the Holy Spirit. And you know how the grace of Yah was ministered to us again. Because the Most High Yah, He is really desiring His children to know His heart. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. If we desire to walk in it, desire to taste of it, desire to, you know, to indulge ourselves in Him. Hallelujah. 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 Because He is a good indulgence. Taste and see that Yah is good. I'll be back in just a minute. I'm going to leave you here with Sister Wenda. I'll be back real quickly. Shalom.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Well, saints of the Most High Yah, pray your hearts indicted in a most joyous, good manner. May our hearts be stirred with the presence of Yah and His goodness, because we have the testimony every day that without him, we can do nothing. And we've got to get that in our hearts, in our minds. Because he is a loving Yah. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be the all in all. He wants to be the focus of our attention. He wants to be our life. We got our life, but he wants to be our life. And I thank the Most High Yah for his life and allowing me to partake of his life and to enter in and enjoy and partake of his life. No, not this. This is not given to everyone. Only his children, foreordained before the foundation of the world. These children, as we have been learning, he's called them Hebrews. And these Hebrews, you know, they are not distinguished, and they are not recognized by the apparel, by the color of their skin, by the way they talk, but there is a certain spirit within the Hebrews that signifies them to be as Hebrews, the children of Yah. As we've been reading in the book of Hebrews, we are learning, you know, the core being of a Hebrew. What is the fabric of a Hebrew? What makes a Hebrew? We know it's not the clothing, not the tzitzits, not of any outward apparel, not even twist of the tongue, not even any walk of a certain walk, parting of the hair or anything, you know, of this temporal world. We see and learning that a Hebrew is one of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, because Yah is a spirit. And if he's going to have children, his children are going to be spirit. The new man is spirit. We low of a truth. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And as Brother Steve says, spirit of obedience. Even, you know, that realm of obedience that we walk in, we still have to say without him, we can do nothing. Because he is the one that has given us light. He is the one that has given us entrance into obedience by letting us know, by him being the door, how to enter in. There is a certain way, a certain order, a certain pattern that he has allowed his children, as being a good father, to let them know how to abide in his house, how to abide in his kingdom. And we must each and every day have a testimony in our heart that we are his children. No longer are we the children of the wicked one. No longer are we children of the night. We are children of the day. All that former conversation, we've got to make it up in our hearts and our minds. That has passed away. That is behind us. We've got our hand to the plow now. And we must hold on. And the only way we hold on, we've got to have our face forward. There is no way to plow and hold a plow with your head backwards. We have a way to hold the plow. We have a way to drive the plow. We have direction if we would just obey. Because we're in his field, and he has given us seed, given some of us talents to broadcast this seed. Because, you know, the husband, he's coming back for a harvest. And his servants must be joyous and glad that they have made increase. The Hebrews, they will always have increase. We've seen it all through the record. His children have increase. He has never wanted his children to have decrease. He wanted his children in abundance. But, you know, we see in the record, you know, they had physical abundance and they took him away from him. So now we must enter into spiritual abundance, and then we must be good stewards over that spiritual abundance. And we must continually claim to what we have. And we must endure to hold what we have so that we may obtain more. We don't want to be the have-nots that have it taken away. No, we know the Spirit of Yah is there to give his children increase. 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 So let the Hebrews increase in the Spirit. In the spirit of your mind, increase as dear children of Yah. This world is not our home. This world is given over to death. It has a dominion of death upon it. This whole creation is delivered unto corruption, the bondage of corruption. And in some of our minds and some of our thoughts are still thinking in the corruptible state. We need to get out of the corruptible mind and start putting on the incorruptible mind, which is his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is a daily confession. We have made an oath. We have confessed with our mouth, and we are confessing each and every day who we are to all around us. And it's a good thing to be in the world, but to be not of the world. Notice that. To be in it, but not of it, means we don't have no inheritance of this world. We don't have no stake in this world. We don't have no more roots in this world. And if you have any roots in this world, I implore you to get the sword and cut the roots to this world. You want liberty? You want freedom? You want peace of mind? Let the two-edged sword do what it needs to do. Separation, separation, sanctify, sanctify. Get your heart and your mind ready to enter in every day. Because the king is coming. And there is a kingdom that we're learning to attain to. We have put off this former kingdom of serving as Hasatan. Let's walk in newness of life continually. We must needs be. Go through this. Because our testimony is being sealed each and every day. Saints, I implore you, watch offenses, watch bitterness, watch envy, watch jealousy. Because all these are the platter of death. All this is the table of death. And the Hasatan, he has stretched out a very deplorable table. Abominable table of dainty meats of this variety. Well, bless y'all, saints. Let us continue on in our study of Hebrews, as it is a letter to us, the children of Yah. And I thank you, Most High Yah, for this letter to his children. Because you see, this is a declaration of Yeshua himself. Behold, I and the children which Yah hath given me. The Hebrews. Are you a child of Yah? If you're going to put on the name Hebrew and call yourself a Hebrew, you are in the land of the living. You have a new Jerusalem awaiting to step your foot in. But this new Jerusalem ain't going to be stepped foot in with a physical, carnal, fleshly, natural foot. We like cleanse our members. We should not have our feet running to mischief. Hands ready to shed innocent blood and such like. Don't yield your members as servants to unrighteousness, as we heard yesterday. You see, judgment is already set. The Most High Yah word has went forth. It will accomplish what it set forth to do. The Most High Yah has allowed us entrance and light to hear and to obey. Okay, if you want to live in darkness, this, if you go this way, if you do this, then you will taste the fruits of darkness. You will go sit at the table of death. But Yahweh says, my desire for you is thoughts of peace, that you would sit at my table, the table of life, the table of light, the table of peace, the table of joy, the table of holiness. Come eat of this food, this lawful food, that you can grow thereby, my children, you Hebrews. Taste and see that Yah is good. Well, how do you eat the word? Obey it. Get it out of, you know, this temporal realm of, you know, the theoretical mind, the thinking mind, and get it into, you know, the spiritual places of the heart, to where you know, it can be planted, and then it can be watered, and it can be sprung up, and it can bring forth fruit in your field. So that you, at that time, will be without nothing at his visitation. Increase the talent. Increase your talent. Every one of us has been giving a measure of faith. Take that measure, no matter what portion it is, and make increase with it. But you will say, how do I do this, Yah? How do I do this? Humble thyself. Humble thyself and let Yah lead thee. And guide thee, and teach thee, and love thee, and clothe thee, and feed thee. If you mess up, correction is there. But take correction. It may be of asparagus, or spinach, or broccoli, something that you don't like eating, something you think that is bitter in your mouth. But it's good. But it's good for that inner man. Eat of it. Eat what is set before you and ask no questions. For Yah is good, and he desires us to sup with him. He's daily knocking at the door. Don't leave him knocking at the door. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Again, we were in the book of Hebrews. We're pretty much in the seventh chapter. I've kind of, went from the fifth chapter, because the fifth chapter started getting us into the meat of Hebrews, talking about Melchizedek, talking about Yeshua HaMashiach coming after the order of Melchizedek. And we see the correlation between, you know, the temporal and the eternal, the fleshly and the spirit. It's a beautiful correlation that the book of Hebrews is always trying to show us, the children of Yah, you know, the contrast of what is going on here, so that we can be enlightened, that we can know the measure of his will, that we can have always beforehand foreknowledge. I mean, Yah is good. And he is a wonderful, awesome father to his children. Many of us have grown up in dysfunctional families. And many of us, you know, have not had a father figure or a mother figure in our former life. And, you know, a lot of this has bled over, this superfluity has bled over into this walk. And I say to you, you know, that your fleshly father and your fleshly mother, some instances you got to let that go. You got to let that go. You got a heavenly father now. Cling to him. Whatever has been in lack, he will make up the hedge. He has always made up the hedge for his children. He will show you how good a father he is. How much of a caring father he is. But, you know, sometimes the reproof and the rebuke and the correction, we don't think that's the goodness of the Father, but that is it more an expression of his love towards us, the Hebrews, to always keep us in check, to keep us within his arms, to keep us within the protection of his hands. He wants to be our husband. He wants to be our all in all. He wants to be our protector. He is our protector. He is our warrior. He is our shield, mighty shield and buckler. He is our defense. He is our life. He birthed you. Well, how did he birth me? If you received his seed and you are a new creature and you call yourself a child of Yah, you're his child. But we're in Hebrews chapter 7. We're pretty much almost at the end of chapter 7. But, you know, as I've been, you know, going over this throughout the week and meditating on throughout the week, like I said, you know, here we are in the meat of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. I mean, as you know, I started reading through chapter 7 and how it's opening up so many things. Then the preceding chapters, 8, 9, and 10, you know, I almost want to throw away the chapter versions, you know, the divisions of the chapter and look at it, you know, in full thought, you know, from 5 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10. All that together, you know, as one expression, you know, one image, or how what could I explain it, you know, one thought. Because as I read and read, you know, I've read the book of Hebrews so many times, over and over, and it never gets old. Then, you know, the Holy Spirit was chaining me to 8, to 9, to 10, back to 5, you know, and all in the book of Hebrews. And then they're like, you know, we ain't made it to chapter 8 yet, and we ain't made it to chapter 9 yet. But within chapter 7 and in chapter 5, we're in 8, 9, and 10, if I can use again that understanding. But in Hebrews 7:20, I believe that, you know, I might, you know, back up a little bit from where we left off last time. And we'll start at we're in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. And it starts getting into something very beautiful here, something very profound. It is bringing us into something very simple, simple. Simple. We, you know, we are a people that's been reared up with complex thoughts. A lot of us have, you know, at any times we have 4 and 5 thoughts, you know, just kind of colliding in our mind together, and we need to stop that. Really need to stop that. I mean, you know, stop all that traffic. Get that mind down to a one-lane highway. And that highway, get it into a lane of the highway of holiness. Because this world system and this world ways and this school system, has taught us so much independence from Yah and dependence on ourselves, on our own strength, on our own intellect, on our own knowledge. And we've crammed all this knowledge in our former life. And now we see in this life, we see, you know, sometimes a clamorous actions going on within our being because of that which was has been. And I know a lot of us may be in this as a babe and young in this. But I implore you to continually stay in his word. Keep your mind on him. It's an amazing thing. The more you keep your mind on him, the more peace you have. The things of this world don't seem so scary. They don't seem so fearful. If, you know, our mind is saturated and our being is saturated in the things of Yah. You know, I make it through the day with no problems, you know, no stress. A lot of times because, you know, my mind is stayed on him. I know my sufficiency is of him. And that is a key for each and every one of us to, you know, throughout our day to continually keep your mind on him. But in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20, says, "And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest." And we know what we have been studying, talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, the high priest, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then there's so much more, this learning the order that lets us know who Melchizedek was. Just by the things he done, by the things he performed. But how do we see? It ain't much, you know, spoken about Melchizedek, but there is much spoken about Melchizedek as we look into the life of Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's called us to be kings and priests. And how are we going to learn how to be kings and priests? Because this Melchizedek, he was king of Salem, king of righteousness, king of peace. And he's allowed us to enter into this same in grace, yeah, co-inheritors, joint heirs with him. He was a king priest. Nothing like that before. But this was in the mind of Yah. This was in the love of Yah. This is a beautiful thing. And it says, "And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest." This Yeshua HaMashiach, after the order of Melchizedek, was made a priest by an oath. Let me read you a definition of oath. Oath means, you know, it's a solemn promise. And this promise is often invoking a divine witness. And we read through the book of Hebrews, especially in chapter 2, that the children, they were partakers of death. But it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he would come down from glory himself, from Shemaim himself, put himself in the same body of his creation, suffer as we suffer, being tempted as we have tempted in all points, yet without sin. And you remember Pastor going over this yesterday. And you know, and it's amazing that our minds would not think that you know Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, because Christianity has painted, you know, Jesus as, you know, something, you know, that just I don't know, just so outer worldly that, you know, they can't conceptualize or really think that at times Jesus went over to by the side of a tree and took a piss. Oh, no, Not Jesus. He's not going over and take a piss. He had to piss like everybody. He had to go stoop down somewhere behind a tree somewhere and take a crap and cover it up. But our minds cannot wrap around that. But it behooved him to be made like unto his brother. This is how he became a divine witness. Behold, I and the children which Yah has given me. I mean, this. He saw the children of Yah, and his love went out. And then he said, I delight to do thy will, O Yah. A body hast thou prepared me. And we read of the divine witness of that body that was here in this world for a certain amount of time. And now, and this time, here we are, the body of Christ. And you know, in our minds couldn't fathom that Yeshua looked at a woman's butt. But he looked at the woman's butt. I mean, tempted in all you heard. Tempted in all points. We forget that. Like we are yet without sin. Look at this divine witness. He promised to do a will of the Father. The will of the Father. And also this oath is it regards one's future action or behavior. And we should not be shocked by this, because he put on the same earth suit as we did, and we know how this earth suit. We have a witness in ourselves with the aches and the pains and everything it takes, you know, to take care of this temporary tabernacle that we're in. He likewise took part of the same. Why? Because he loved the children which Yah has given him. He knows down the road that you are a child of Yah. All that we read about in the count of his whole walk, of everything that is recorded of him, his works and his love, reached out even to our time because he saw it. He saw it. He knew it. The Father let him know his love stretched to that point. Yes. To the uttermost. And as much as not without an oath, he was made priest. As in Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto Yahweh, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Because you remembered when the work was finished, when our Messiah, when our Savior was on the tree, about at his last breath, the words that were uttered said, it is finished. What was finished? The work. The will of Yah was finished. He did not break his vow. He did not break his oath. The oath that made him a priest is the same oath that brought him through to the time of the impalement. I mean, it propelled him. He was bound by his word. And we, as the Hebrews of Yah, we need to be more bound by our words, because we're going to be held accountable. As we know, a witness that every idle word is going to be accounted of in that day. He shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And Yeshua said, I come to do thy will, O Yah. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. So everything that in the word, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. That Word was bound in oath. That Word was bound in vows. But he performed it to the uttermost because of what was set forth to come. Like the definition, regarding one's future action or behavior. This is, you know, like I said, you know, Hebrews 5, 7, 8, 9, and 10, if we use chapter divisions, you know, he made an oath. And the oath made him a priest. Because in Hebrews 10 and 7, he said, then said I, Yeshua said, then said I, Yeshua, lo, I come, Yeshua come, the Son come, the one that had the children given to him. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, the same thing that when he come back and he appeared unto his disciples 40 days, he expounded, he opened their understanding, as Luke gave report to, all things written in the Psalms, the Proverbs, the volume of the book. And what was in the volume of the book? All the words, all the oaths, all the vows, all the laws, all the precepts, all the commandments. In the volume of the book, it is written of him. The word became flesh. And we're looking at, you know, from Genesis, you know, for the little boundary of what we've got here, is not the, you know, the fullness of it. What we can say from Genesis to Malachi, all that word, that was, everything that was happening there became flesh. In the volume of the book it is written. In the volume of the book it is prophesied. In the volume of the book it is portrayed of him. What? The volume of the book said this, to do thy will, O Yah. What, the will of Yah is from Genesis to Malachi? Yes. Yes. That word became flesh. That word, Yeshua HaMashiach. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Yah. In Hebrews 10:8 says, above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither had pleasure therein. And these, he said, which are offered by the law. Then he said in Hebrews 10:9, he said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Yah. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. We know the first man of the earth, he was earthly, he was mortal, he was corruptible. But the second man, Adam, he was a quickening spirit. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What was nailed to that tree? What was nailed? Look, that body of sin Hebrews 7:21 says, for those priests were made without an oath. Talking about the priests that were, you know, because it said the law. Law. It's saying the law made these priests. So you read in Hebrews 10 and 8, he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not. Neither had pleasure therein which were offered by the law. They were obedient in doing, but there came a time when this sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, they had no substance with those priests. They became, you know, it was just became ritualistic to them. There was no heartfelt substance. There was nothing reaching the conscience of the people or of the priest. And we've got an understanding of that from Genesis to Malachi. Got to a point, you know, where Mosiah said, I'm tired of it. Tired of your sacrifices. Tired of everything because your heart's not in it. Your being is not in it. You're just there to show up and to perform a service without no substance. And we can do the same thing. We can be in the same manner. We can appear before him as his people, but our heart can be far from him. And this is a testimony against us, but it is a testimony that could be for us if we would look into, you know, this and be obedient and willing not to go that way. We would look into the mirror of the word and see what was the judgment of that very derelict spiritual undertaking of being heartless and stiff-necked and hard-hearted, how it just became just a stench and an abomination for the Most High Yah. And it came to a point where the priests were just trying to perform this all through the flesh. Nothing of the spirit was involved in it. For those priests, talking about the priests that we read all the way from Genesis until, you know, Yeshua's time himself, there was even high priest in Jerusalem at that time. Those priests, they were made without an oath, and that is profound. But it said, but this, talking about this priest, Yeshua HaMashiach, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but this with an oath. And we've been talking about this oath just for a little bit. By him that said unto him the Father, Yahweh swear and will not repent. You see that? Yahweh swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we want to know who Melchizedek is? Look at Yeshua HaMashiach. Everything that he did, everything that he performed, everything that proceeded out of his being gives us a look into this priesthood of Melchizedek and the order that Yeshua come and performed. And this was done, you know, this was consecrated and founded and established by an oath. Many of us have made an oath before this world and before Yahweh. And we've got to understand, because we've made this oath and we've made this stand and we've made this testimony, this proclamation, that the things of this world demons, devils, whatever, is going to be constantly fighting us and warring against us. Even our own fleshly bodies, fleshly minds, carnal natures, is going to be warring against us. And we got to get in our mind that this is part of the walk of Christ. Has he come to do the will of the Father? And we're here partaking of the will of the Father, and we hopefully can perform the will of the Father. He came and put on the same body that we're walking in now. And we've got to look to our own selves, our own infirmities, our own weaknesses, our own desires, our own carnal natures, and understand that Yeshua HaMashiach, he felt, he endured, experienced every bit of it as we have and are going to experience. So that's why I say, through every manner of walk of this life, that's why you got to cleave to him. Cleave to him. Cleave to him. Because he gained victory over it. And I want to walk in that victory that he gained for us. I want to walk in the oath with the words that he proclaimed to the Father. I want to be in that inheritance. I want to be that joint heir. I want to not rely on my own strength, but rely on the one who has the strength to give to me to be strong. That strength is of not my sufficiency, but it is of him that went before, the first begotten, the first fruits. I'm going to partake of that fruit. I'm going to take and eat of that body and drink of that blood, so that I can walk in that life, so that I can have fellowship with him, not with myself. And we know many times when we have fellowship with ourselves, sometimes it's not good. But when we have fellowship with him, we can have joy, we can have peace, we can have long-suffering, we can have temperance. And there's not nothing generated of our own, but it comes from him. He is the vine. We are the branches. And any time we should not desire to be detached from the vine. Well, that's where the life source comes from. Here we are, the branches, attached to the vine. And you know, the only way that we can bear fruit is we stay attached to the vine to give us all the nutrients, all the strength, all the water, everything. Because we got to be attached to that is attached to the root. The root brings it up, and then the vine distributes it to the branches. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, Yah will swear and will not repent. Said, thou art a priest. How long? Forever. After the order, whatever Melchizedek did, whatever Melchizedek walked in, whatever Melchizedek, you know, the precepts and the law, all the obedience that Melchizedek walked in, Yeshua walked in. This oath bound him to this order. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Again, in Psalm 110. Let me read that to you again. I know I read it last blog talk, but, you know, in going back and reading this, when it first appears, in the psalm, it gives me, the more I read it, it gives me a more understanding of the order of Melchizedek. Because we, in past blog talks, we see that when Melchizedek showed up and appeared before Abraham, after a war, after a war, after a war. That is very profound. Is that very instance that took place there? You know, Abraham is our father, and he is the friend of Yah, and he is the father of faith. But notice this in Psalms 110. Said the master said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand. Notice that. At my right hand. Who's sitting on the right hand of the Father? Thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Notice we were dealing with order. The reason that we understand through the word that Yeshua was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Keep that in mind. Keep that fresh. Yahweh, master said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Says, and the master shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. Thy people, the Hebrews, the children, shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties, and notice that, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, from the day spring, from the dawn of the day, because we are children of the light. We have been born in the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth, O children of Yah, Hebrews. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Says the master at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. You understand this? You really see what's going on here? You know, as you know, we're putting line upon line, precept upon precept. The Yahweh at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. And Yeshua at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head, our king priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And he says, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now upon this, let us visit again 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll start at verse 53. What we read there in Psalms 110. Keep that fresh in mind. And if you have time, go back and read Psalm 110. As you know, what we have been went over in Hebrews. And then go to here, Corinthians. And it will open your understanding to something very profound, something very beautiful. It says in 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We're talking about the day of his power, huh? And we shall be changed. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death, notice that. Capital D, death. Death. Our enemy is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, in the same chapter, chapter 15 of Corinthians, verse 25, we read, says, for he must reign, Yeshua HaMashiach must reign, till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Is death. Again, same chapter, verse 21 now. For since by man came death, and it says, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. For since by man came death, and in that, my mind goes back to Romans. Romans, chapter 5. Starting at verse 12. As we understand, the first man of the was of the earth, earthly, mortal, corruptible. Second man, Adam, quickening spirit. Now notice this contrast here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. What? What world? This world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. It's something when sin entered into this world. What happened to this world? Now notice. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that's when death come in by sin, when sin opened the door to let death come and just infiltrate and fabricate and just soak itself into and became the fabric of this world, the dominion of this world, death, because of one man's sin, and death by sin. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. This brung on the corruption. This brung on the mortality. This brung on the, so much. But it says, for unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law, because, you know, death reigned from Adam till Moses till the law came. See, in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Notice that. But not as the offense. You know, the Most High has taken all things out of his kingdom that offend, but not as the offense. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, hearkening to the voice of the woman who hearkened to the voice of the serpent, giving this world over to sin and death, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of Yah and the gift by grace, this free gift, which is by one man, that quickening spirit, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by that one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. See, we are justified by faith. We should never walk in condemnation. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. By one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. And that's Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, by the oath of one, by the one who come after the order of Melchizedek, the one said, yeah, I come to do thy will, O Yah. I see you, the children you have given me. I see that they were so encompassed by the bondage of death and the fear of death all their lifetime. I, Yeshua HaMashiach, wants to deliver them from this death. This last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Why is he trying to get the envy and the jealousy and the bitterness and the backbiting and the hatred and the variance and the emulations and all this work of the flesh out of us? Because he does not want us to walk in condemnation. He wants his children, the Hebrews, to walk in justification. Because it's not by none of our works that's going to justify us in no point, but by what he done, what he shed, what he endured for us, the children. We are justified, and we need to get in our mind to walk in justification and quit walking in damn condemnation. You are not of the old man, Adam. You are of the quickening spirit. My Yah, claim your inheritance. Be joint heirs with Yeshua. Walk in it now. Get your hearts and your minds established now as you have already received. In newness of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sins abound, where sin abounded, then it makes grace. Grace did much more abound. It had abounded to the point where Yeshua HaMashiach, by the oath, said, I delight to do thy will, O Yah. I see the children, fear of bondage of death. I've got to deliver them from this bondage of corruption. I know this is your heart's desire, Yah. This is your will. And I want to show this will to the children by what I have done on this earth. And we have a great, great, great testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, of what he done before he put that body of sin on the tree, taking it out of the way and everything that was contrary to us. Why did grace much more abound? That as sin hath reigned unto death, and it does. If You allow sin to reign in your mortal body. You heard it yesterday. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Even so might grace, and this is his hope. As sin has reigned in your body, and you have a testimony where sin takes us, leaves you where you don't want to go, takes you where you don't want to stay, makes you want to pay more than you want to pay. And so likewise, we have this contrast. As we, you know, have a testimony, we in ourselves know where sin has taken us, where we have walked, you know, the streets of death and tasted of death in so many aspects of our lives. So now that you have tasted this and you know this and you have walked in this, now walk in grace. And he said, even so, my grace reign in you. In your mortal body, as sin did one time reign in you unto death. Now he wants grace, his righteousness, his love, his purity, his holiness to reign through you to righteousness unto eternal life. And it's going to bring us unto eternal life by who? Not ourselves, by Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Our Savior, our Master, our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this same thing back in Hebrews. We'll go back. See, I'm telling you, this whole story is just so beautiful. This covenant, this love affair, this marriage, this betrothing. The children, their minds and their hearts being steered back to the Father. In this time, in this hour, in the time of his power. It's a beautiful thing to walk in. I want to say Hebrews chapter 2, that's what we have read there. Again, let me bring this forth again. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which Yah hath given me. And he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, for as much then as the children, the Hebrews, this is written to us, the Hebrews. We're the children of Yah. So what is a good definition of the Hebrews? The children of Yah. And how are we the children of Yah? By his Spirit. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he said, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Took part of the same. Took part of the same. That through death, notice that through death, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I said before you this day, life and death. Every day that you wake up before you go to bed. But your day starts out, I set before you this day life and death. But his desire and his heart's will and everything that is in him by grace is that you walk in life. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? Why, Yeshua? Why? Why? Why this love? Why this level of commitment? Why be bound by an oath? You know, what is going on here, Yeshua? Yah is love. And how are we going to know of your will and your ways and your life, Yah? Well, look at love itself in a body. He also likewise took part of the same that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear, deliver us, the children that had been given him, and deliver them, that's the them, us, the Hebrews, who through fear of death were all their lifetime, all that Adam, that Adamic first Adamic walk were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He wants to establish in you, himself, the quickening spirit. Why? To deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage because of death. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And it says, and this is so beautiful that I love this verse, which said, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him, it behooved Yeshua, this order of Melchizedek, this oath, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Who behooved him? I mean, he had a desire. He had a passion that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Yah, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that, he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. We got to understand that the mighty one of this world is Satan, saints, children, Hebrews. See, this God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Yah, should shine unto them. He implores us not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like Paul said, you know, I'm on my known now, my flesh. No matter what, it's going to serve the law of sin. I've come to that understanding. I've come to peace with that. But with my mind, I'm going to serve the law of Yah. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. There's that word again, will of Yah. Oh, it is written, I come to do thy will, O Yah. I, as the oath is said, and you swear and will not repent, I send you after the order of Melchizedek. Knowing this, that this world has its laws sown in our flesh. Always, Yeshua is desiring us to have his law in our hearts and our minds. This is the covenant that he will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. Write his laws in our hearts and minds so we can share in this covenant and this affair, in this betrothal, in this inheritance, in this joint heirship. Because in the same covenant he made with the Father, he's desiring us to be bound with the same oath. This world, we got to understand it. It is given over to death. Come to grips and peace with it. And come to an understanding, yeah, I understand that this world is given over to death. Now I'm going to remove myself. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I am in it, but I am not of it. Oh, praise y'all, saints. Praise y'all. I'm going to take a little small break here again, and we will be back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your offerings or letters of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr., and Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. If sending packages, you will need to include the street and number with that. It's Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, and Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom. The King is coming.
Hebrews 7:22. We'll kind of go over a lot of subject here real quick. Saints of the Most High, Yah. Remember I said earlier, you know, we're in the meat of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to kind of consume just in this little bit of time a lot of word, but this word is going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. It's going to edify itself. It's going to build itself, and hopefully in time, when you have time to meditate, time to study, go back over this and really read it slowly and in context. Praise Yah. It says in Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made a surety better testament. Now I say testament, also known as covenant. By what he did, well, because under the ways of the old man, first Adam, until he came. That covenant was breached because the flesh of man was weak. So we see one, Yeshua HaMashiach, coming in the power of the Spirit to establish, you know, not a new covenant, but the same covenant with force. Let us look at this. Let us look at this. Here, and in this, you know, keep your, if you have a piece of paper or something, stay there at Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to go to over to Hebrews chapter 9 now. And I'm going to read you in its entirety, verses 11 through 22 in Hebrews chapter 9. But it says, by this verse of being surety of a better testament. But it says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, not talking of this fleshly building. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. See, now you see what is going on, how he made surety of a better covenant testament. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, that place where this Hasatan had defiled. abominated, had corrupted by his own will, by his own heart. But he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, the Hebrews, the children, that was given him. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, notice that, to the purifying of the flesh. We read before, you know, Most High, Yah got to a point where he had no pleasure in those things no more. Because of this flesh was weak. Verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, now notice that, the correlation between flesh and spirit, taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Taketh away the first, take it out of the way. Yeah, he nailed it on a tree. Taking it out of the way. It was contrary to us. Who through the eternal Spirit, the same Spirit that is in many of us, offered himself without spot to Yah. He purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator to make surety of a better testament. He offered himself. You can see how much he solidified this covenant in us. And when he poured his Spirit into us, how much that solidified our covenant and our testament to Yah. Since for a testament is of force after men are done, dead. After men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which Yah hath enjoined unto you. Notice that. We have read that order there. That order there. Verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things himself with better sacrifices than these. Hebrews chapter 8, starting at verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh. So for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And when this is done, he said, and I will be to them an Elohim, a master, a savior, and they shall be to me a people. What, the Hebrews? Yes. Again, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at this. Starting at verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, and unto the blackness and darkness and tempest. Talking about that mount when Moshe received the law of Yah. And it said, then the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard and treated by the word, should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned and thrust with a dart, through with a dart. And it says, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But it says, but ye, Hebrews, the children, which has been given to Yeshua, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Notice the correlation. Notice the contrast there. And unto the city of the living Yah, living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church, the assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Yah, the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. And to Yeshua, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the New Testament. We will say renewed. That's the way it should read. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Back in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests. Talking about the priests of old, the priests that were made by the law. Well, we're talking about the priest made by an oath. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue. Why? They could not continue. The priests from year to year that offered the blood of bulls and goats and calves and doves and everything for every sin, which Most High come to a point where he had no pleasure therein. Because these priests could not continue. Why? Because of the reason of death. Notice that word again. But in Hebrews 7:24, but this man, Yeshua HaMashiach, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. We'll read this again in the Aramaic Peshitta. Listen to this. In Aramaic Peshitta, this is the Lamsa translation. Hebrews 7:23 and 24. And these priests were many because they were mortal. And they were not permitted to continue because of death. But this man, Yeshua HaMashiach, because he is immortal. Now you see. You see where Corinthians comes into play. For this mortal must put on immortality. And these priests were many because they were mortal. And they were not permitted to continue because of death. But this man, because he is immortal, has a priesthood which remaineth forever. Back in the KJV, 7:25, says, wherefore he is able, Yeshua HaMashiach, also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Yah by him. Why? Because this priest, seeing that he liveth forever, that he continueth ever, he liveth, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, for the children which Yah hath given him. Saints of the Most High, Yah, I'm going to probably stop right there. We'll continue on again because got 20-something minutes here left. I'm reading verses 26 through 28. We'll go ahead and read them. And maybe next time when we come again to feasting on the book of Hebrews, we'll go get more in depth to this as we close this out. I don't think we'll be able to close it out because we're in the meat of it. And I thank the Most High Yah for that. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 26 through 28. It says, "For such an high priest became us." Notice that, the children. "Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." It said, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests," because, you know, they were not suffered to continue because of death, "but this because he continueth ever, he's able to make intercession for us." So this is a surety of a better covenant, a better testament. "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." It says, "For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity." It says, "But the word of the oath, which was since the law," this word of the oath, "it maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." So this oath, beautiful thing to cling to, beautiful thing to understand, in the heart of Yah, in the expression of Yeshua, in the Word becoming flesh, to show us a way into the Spirit, to open the door to the Spirit. We really got to come to understanding as Hebrews, as the children of Yah, as He is Spirit, we got to understand we also are Spirit. And we have an understanding that we are Spirit because He is Spirit. Yeshua is Spirit. And the only way that we can really claim to be spiritual is to cling to His spirituality. Got a lot of people clinging and manifesting their own spirituality, but is apart from Him. It's diverse from Him. But our spirituality is dependent upon Him, upon what He did, upon His obedience. We should walk in His obedience. Because He was not disobedient at any time, but learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And He desires us to learn obedience by the things which we suffer. And then we can learn obedience by looking how He suffered. We can walk in His obedience. Without Him, we can do nothing. We cannot do nothing. It's a great testimony. And I am humbled to say that this comes from my heart, not from my mind. You know, I have testified this each and every day that it has become part of my spirit. And it has given me strength and power and direction throughout the day. But it was not my strength, not my power, but it was Him. I walk in His victory, and we should always walk in His victory. Bless y'all, saints. We will pick up again as we continue on to break bread in the book of Hebrews. As the children of Yah, as the Hebrews. Thank you all again for your support, for your love, for your prayers. I implore you and ask you, continue to pray for one another, to love one another, to stay in fellowship with one another. Do not let offense, do not let anything of this world persuade you from the life that is in Christ. Do not make no more covenants with death. Because a lot of us are continually making covenants with death day by day. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, that no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Bless you all. Thank you, Brother Paul, again, for posting scripture. Love you, my beloved. Love all my beloved that are the Hebrew, the called of Yah, the children of Yah. I bless you all and bid you peace and grace from our Savior and our Master, Jesus Christ. May this keep you in the days coming, because the King is coming. He's coming back sooner than when we ever thought. We're getting closer, saints. So endure to the end. Be not weary in well-doing. You shall reap if you faint not. Ah, we bless the Most High for his strength, for his wisdom, for his knowledge, for his life, for his blood, and definitely for his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.